Glad you came back tonight. Hope you're going to go see some fireworks tomorrow or Tuesday. Tuesday it is, amen. And my wife said, well, let's go see fireworks. I said, well, got to find out where they at, amen. So we're going to try to do that for the kids, amen. It don't matter to me if I ever see another firework again, amen. I had enough of them. I remember trying to spend my money on buying the fireworks. I remember used to go in Brother Clint's house when his little boy was young, playing the fireworks. I just don't get in them anymore, amen. Anymore, you try to shoot people with the bottle rockets, they just whine and go home crying all. And ain't no fun, amen. We used to hold them in our hand, shoot each other, you know. People don't like that no more, you know. They figure they want to call law on you and all that stuff. Man, if I'm going to get in trouble, I might just stay home, amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we're going to read verses 1 through 10 here, and we're going to pick up our message tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Whoa. Well, I found out where the speaker is. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and when you find your place, I would invite you for the standing and reading of the Word of God. All right, Nathan, bear with me. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Bible says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothius, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, dear God, for your love and your grace. And God, as we look into this passage tonight, we pray, Heavenly Father, for the filling of your Spirit. Pray, dear God, for understanding. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for decisions that would be made to live for you and honor you with the life that you've given us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have sent our way. But tonight, Lord, if there would be anything that we would be able to do, would be that we open our heart and learn to serve you and love you with all that you've given to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. And so tonight here, I want to pick up on the subject to us tonight. I want to go through a couple of things here. Go back with me in the first few verses of our text here. Here the Bible says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now I want to pull something out of that. We know that today there aren't any apostles. We know today that there aren't people that have the burning fire like Paul had. I mean, you can imagine how he reached the people. One of the greatest missionaries that was known in Bible times other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul did a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at this phrase here. Now back up with me, if we can do some implements, then let's implement some things in this. So Now, we know we're not trying to pull the verse out of context, but you need to recognize where we're at. Now, look at it. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? Now, let's just take away where it says called to be an apostle. And let's say today, Paul, okay, called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You get my point? All right. Today, Paul called to be a Christian. Amen? All right. You get my point? Paul called to be a son of God. You with me? Now let's back up. Let's try it again. Let's say tonight, let's say Darren called to be a son of God. Amen? You like that? That's good. Amen? Darren called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on and move. Not only that, it says called to be a servant or called to be whatever you place in that, a disciple. But it says, look on with me, through the will of God. Now, today, if you're a Christian, you got to understand that that's through the will of God. Amen. And when you put the will of God, that changes everything. Because before, we could say, Darren, well, he's a servant. He just has a title. He just a description of who he is. But when you place the will of God, now he has direction in his life. Now he has understanding. He has purpose. Tonight, you and I, we need to see ourselves as the church, that we have purpose. We have purpose. We have this congregation. We have this meeting as a place that we can worship Christ. But here we need to understand that it's through the will of God. Let's go on and read. Verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, let's go back. Let's just pick up and stop right here. Here the Bible saying that the church of God at Corinth, right? All right, no, sir. Now let's back up. Let's say the church of God at Flat Rock. Okay, you with me? All right, let's look at it. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now let's bring that out. All right, sanctified. That is that they're sanctified. They're set apart. They're set apart to do something for the will of God. Amen. You like that? Amen. That's good, because that's what we want to grasp tonight. All right. And so we just don't come to church and shake hands with everybody. But we come to church because it's the will of God. God sanctifies. He sanctifies the church. Amen. But notice what it really says in Jesus Christ. Amen. That makes a huge difference, folks. Amen. That changes everything. Well, you know what that does? Well, that throws away your opinions. And that throws away my opinions. That gets away some of the garbage that we go through in church. Amen. Because the reality is that church only exists in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so here we want to go through that. So here, unto the church of God, which at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, I like this, buddy. I like this. Boy, I hope you bring your highlighter. I hope you bring some things. I mean, take out your key out of your pocket. And if you'll just take that key, I guarantee you, it'll make a mark right there, just like that easy. And underline that. I've done it, man. People call me, and I've been on the roofs and all. And I take my key, and I start writing out phone numbers. Amen. It works. So, just for you to know. Anyways, but listen to this. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, listen. That puts us on a road. That puts us on a very serious, serious road. That you and I, we are called to be saints. And I'm gonna pick up right there, and I wanna say to you that we get involved in church in a lot of areas of church. I mean, we get we get involved. I mean, we have this to do and we have that to do, and it's exciting. I mean, VBS is right around the corner, just 6 weeks down the road. VBS, and we're going to get involved. And right after that, we got the Tent Revival, and there's a lot of things that's going on in the house of God. But listen, nothing ought to be any more important that should be going on in the house of God than you being sanctified, set aside in the house of God, but to be saint, to be a saint. And so, listen, tonight, you and I, we are the children of God. I've been making mention in this church that we are to get away from just calling ourselves, well, I'm a Christian. And I don't want to try to, I don't want to try to corrupt any doctrine that's being taught. But I would tell you this, that we're so more concerned about being a Christian than where we don't really understand what that means. Because in reality, when the world looks at a Christian, they look at just another religious guy. He's just a religious guy. You know, he's a little kooky and all, you know. I mean, the more you talk about Jesus, I mean, hey, they think that you are, I mean, well, they just can't describe you. I mean, we've been having scorners and scoffers and people preach about the saints and all of that. But, you know, they just don't know how to react when a child of the King acts the way he is or the way he should be. And so today, we have a lot of people in the churches that act like Christians. You say, well, Pastor, that's a good thing. Well, not really. It's not a really good thing. It's because what that means is that we have a lot of religious people in church that just come to church, sit on the pews, and that's all they do. They come to church, they get their little fill, and they go off, and you don't know when the next time you see them. And so there's so many people that are acting like Christians, but I've been trying to study this out, and I believe that tonight the right understanding for you and I is that the Bible gives us a term, and that's to be saints. Amen. Now, what are saints? Well, that is simply people have given their lives over to Jesus Christ. Amen. And so today, you and I, we are to get away from this term of being a Christian, but we are to understand that today I'm a saint. I ought to be the child of God. I'm a child of the King. And that means something. That means more. That gives more authority. That gives me more understanding that who I am and who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Because don't forget that how it says that that to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, that simply means that I don't care. I don't care how much good works you do. I don't care all the things you involve yourself in church. You clean the church. You do this. I don't care if you're the most dynamic worker for the church. But if you do all these things outside of Jesus Christ, you'll never be sanctified like he wants you to be. Right. All of it's just for a show. And so tonight, there's some startling things that we want to bring out into our lives. Thank you, Miss Carrie. God bless you. Amen. I love Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I know, Carrie. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. I love you too, Carrie. Amen. All in Jesus, amen. All right, then, with me. Now, go with me to verse 2 again. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Here it is. Boy, this is deep, man. Listen. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, what kind of problems you have today? I don't know what's disturbing you or distracting you. I don't know what's pulling you away as the Bible is trying to teach from the will of God here. But here the Bible is giving us some depth, some meaning, is giving us some meat in our lives. That with everything, that with all the things, that with who we are and all about us. Here it says, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ. That says something to you and I, and it's only that the saints can call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody else, they mumble the name of God, but it has no meaning to them. Today, you and I mean, we are to be the children of God that should be able to know that we can call upon the name of Jesus Christ because we are saints. We are found in His will. We are in Jesus Christ. And all this makes something in our life. Amen? Amen. So there's a disturbing trend that we find in our churches. And that disturbing trend is that many Christians are not involved in Jesus Christ. They are simply involved in apathy. They are involved in the things that pull them away from the will of God. They are involved in the where the Bible says that we are to not set our hearts on mouth and corrupt, where things corrupt and rust and all of that. The church, many God's people claim His name, but they set their life on the style of apathy. And that's the problem. Because here, the Bible is teaching us that we are to be the children of God in the will of God. We are to be sanctified by God. All of that in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it gives us a startling statement, because here, some of you come to church tonight, and your desire is to meet with God. And yet, you want to. You desire that, and yet there's that struggle. There's that pulling away. There's that stopping in the tracks kind of thing. And maybe it would be today that it might not be you, but it might be somebody else, whatever the case is. I tell you, the reality that we fight in our churches is the apathy, the going away, the going astray in the minds, in the hearts, and desires of God's people. And they're not in the will of God. And they wonder why. We all wonder why church isn't the way it should be. And so I want to bring out to you tonight that we as God's people, there's some things that we would want to do, and it's not dynamic. It's not anything, but it should be a reminder, because God never gets away from the basics. And so today I want to present to you that you and I should get back to the basics. Back to what the basics really are. And so, so we're not making this a big, long, drawn out message, but there are some things that should be happening if we really find ourselves in the will of God. Well, let's go on to verse 3. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I don't know how to really explain that, Brother Freya. I don't know really how to explain that verse, other than to say, when I look at that, when I meditate on that, when I look, trying to dig in and find something in that verse that speaks to my heart, but to me it just seems like that God wants you and I to have peace in our life. Amen. Amen. Look at it. Grace be unto you and peace. Look at it. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, it reminds me of that story, paraphrasing, that if we are in Christ. And I had some folks explain to me when I first got saved, Robert, if you are in Christ, then God has taken your heart. Jesus Christ has taken your heart and he has placed it in his hand. And then he clenches his hand around you. And he holds you securely and he protects you and he loves you and he provides for you. Amen? And then it was described to me that then he takes his life, his hand, everything that he is, and he places himself in the Father. And the Father wraps his arms around you and Jesus. He wraps around and secures, and no man, the Bible says, can open what God had closed. Amen? And so here, maybe a same principle. Here, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prays for you. John chapter 17 tells us that. And all prayer that he's praying for the people of God prays for you. And how does it be that here, if Jesus wants us to have peace, right? And then he takes that, he takes your life, takes my life, and he places it in the Father. And the Bible says, and peace from God our Father. Amen. So it ought to be some things happening in our life. Today, God wants you and I to live with the confidence that he's there. He's always abiding. No matter where we go or what we do, his peace is there. Amen. And so tonight, are we understanding that if you and I are the children of God, we're not playing Christians. We're not like other Christians. Yet we have the desire to live for God. We have we know that there's some things that God wants us to be involved in. I mean, we recognize that today that God wants us to be in peace in all the midst of a trying world. This world that we live in is crumbling and falling to pieces. But you and I don't have to. And so tonight, can I ask you a question? How is your singing for Jesus Christ? I mean, when you sing the words about Christ, are you singing with everything you got? I know I can't sing. Amen. But it don't stop me.
Amen.
Amen. Because I don't sing for people. I sing for Jesus Christ. My wife, God bless her soul, but she is really proud of me. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm proud that she's proud of me. Amen.
Amen.
But I've been singing this song. And the more I sing this song, the more it indoctrinates my heart of the love of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know how else to sing it. But when I sing it unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I can sing that it's well with my soul. But I've been singing that song now. I can't even think what the song I was singing. Amen. I mean, my mind went blank. Amen. I know what it says, but I can't even sing the words. Amen. But love lifted me. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin. How you sing? Wait a minute now. They don't know it, man. Help me sing them out, man. Huh? I was sinking deep in peace. See, my mind went blank. Amen. Y'all's going blank too. Y'all scared to sing. Amen. That's my point, amen. How is your singing? How is my singing? Is it unto the Lord? Are we singing with all heart? Are we singing with abandonment? Are we singing with some hostility? Or are we singing that we don't understand what the words are? If God really lifts you out of the depth of sin, there ought to be a song on your heart, amen. There ought to be some joy in your life. There ought to be some peace in the soul, amen. And that's where we're at. There ought to be some praying. Amen.
Amen.
I encourage the men today. And I encourage every man that it was not here today that, you know what? We ought to get on our face. Get on our knees and face as men and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor, I don't like praying with people. Well, I don't either, amen. But you know what? There's something about it that when we do it, it brings us together. It unifies us. It helps us to know that another man, he has problems and want to know that, hey, he needs prayer and I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to encourage him, amen. And sometimes you can only get that in prayer. How's your praying? How's your Bible study? Amen. Are you studying alone with the Lord? You know, I can't get far from the Bible to read how the Bible says that Jesus is a jealous God. You're saying, Pastor, man, that's far-fetched. Amen. Nahum tells us God is jealous. What does that mean? Is he jealous because of somebody's going to take away the holiness of his name? No. He's jealous because when you don't spend time with him and you spend time with everything else and you don't never have time to spend with him, he's jealous.
Amen.
And he don't like it. And he ain't going to put up with it. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying if you are really a child of the King, okay? I'm not talking about a Christian. Anybody can be a Christian, but not everybody can be a child of the King. Okay? If you are really a child of the King and you're involved in all these other things and God don't come to you and speak to you about that, say, hey, come back. Come back over here. Spend time with me, then there's a problem. There's a serious problem. And I'm not trying to cause conflict in your life, but I want you to understand that there ought to be some singing, there ought to be some praying, there ought to be some Bible study, and there ought to be some zeal in your life. You know, the good thing about zeal is it just really proves your love for Jesus Christ. I wonder how your seal is tonight. You're saying, Pastor, well, that's not part of the basics. Sure it is. When you got first saved, there was an excitement into your heart. You cannot explain it. You cannot describe it. It was there, and you just run around like a puppy dog that just got out of the pen. No? I remember that. And the older I got in my Christian life, the more I realized a lot of folks don't have no zeal. They don't have no desire to live for the Lord. I mean, it seems listless. They're involved in all these other things. Just like we looked into this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3. They're involved in all these other things, but Jesus Christ is never on the list. It just bothers me that here, how can I say that I'm a child of the King and I never have no zeal for Him? You know, maybe today God might be pointing out in your life that if you have no zeal, maybe you are backslidden. Maybe if you're not backslidden, maybe you just don't really know the Lord like you say you know. I mean, there ought to be some things. There ought to be some zeal. There ought to be some Bible study. There ought to be some prayer. There ought to be some singing going on in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There's always a way for the child of the King to prevail. Today, I want to just bring a few things to you tonight. We are to get back to the basics. That's those fundamental basics. Turn over to me in Revelation chapter 2. Fundamental basics of where we're at here tonight. Revelation chapter 2, very familiar passage. But it needs to be read. It needs to be a part of the sermon because we often forget these verses. But look with me in verse 4 and 5. The Bible says in verse 4, of chapter 2 of Revelation. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Well, so what does that say to you and I? Well, it simply says that here, these folks, they have left Jesus Christ, their first love. See, what does that really mean? Well, let's just break it down. Before you got saved, you thought you knew what love is. But just like everybody else, you don't know what love is because you've never really experienced love. Or you might experience some emotions. You might experience some excitement by taking your girlfriend out on a date and all of that. And she goes, oh, wow, he really paid for everything. And you might have that excitement, but that's not love. And the only love that you and I can get is from God the Father. And that's his love. And that love was produced, demonstrated on the cross, dying for your wretched sins, dying for your lying and your thieving and all the other things you're involved into. That's what love is. When you and I place our heart in Jesus Christ, that's when we learn what love is. And the Bible here says that they have left their first love. Maybe tonight, you and I, we've left our first love. We go on, and it says, remember therefore whence thou art fallen, remember the sins, remember those things that have placed you into a dead trespassing pleasure. And it says here, it says, repent and do the first works. Get back into serving Jesus Christ. Get back loving him. Get back honoring him. Get back having some zeal for him, singing about Jesus. Amen. Get back to the basics. And so here it says, or else, boy, don't you hate that? Tell my children, son, you better obey, or else. Amen. You know, we don't really know what that or else is until we really experience it. Amen. Amen. But there's not one Christian that if they really have God in their heart, not one Christian that God allows to be astray. Now, what does that mean? Well, it simply means this. We're not talking about being astray in lustful sin. Okay? But how about being astray in this way? Where when you come to church, your mind is lulled asleep. You just begin to think about all the other things and you're not really paying attention to the message. In fact, the message has no meaning to you. In fact, reality, you say, well, that's for the brother over there. And so I have nothing for me. I must be good. He's not preaching about me. I must be all right. And yet you done lulled asleep. Maybe, you know, as God's children, sometimes we go through that, amen? And yet here he's telling us, or else, I will come unto thee quickly, and we remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Folks, I want you to know, if you never encounter Jesus Christ in this way, perhaps you may not know what I'm talking about. Because every child of God goes astray from Jesus Christ. And it's God's responsibility as a good father to get you back into the fold. You're saying, Pastor, I've never gone. I've been a good Christian for 40 years. I've never gone astray. Well, you're lying to yourself. I mean, you're deceiving yourself. And I think it's unfair to yourself that you're lying to yourself and you're lying to everybody else. You're making everybody think that you're something when you're nothing. And then you're a wretched sinner like everybody else. But God knows a way to let us know that when we drift off in our mind, when we drift off in our attitudes and we allow these circumstances to take us over, God knows and has a way to get us back where we need to be. I want you to know today that some of us serve God because of the fear of Him removing that candlestick. Is that a bad thing? I don't think it is. I think it's a good thing, amen. I think we ought to have more people to live like that. I think we ought to have more people that will fear God. Fear God, realizing that He can come any time and take away that candlestick. Take away your influence. Take away that zeal. Oh, they don't have no zeal for me. Well, fine. I'll never speak to them again. Well, I tell you right now, I remember when I was growing up, when my daddy quit talking, boy, it made a difference. Amen. That's tragedy that Jesus, here He wants us to be successful. He's placed us in His will. He's made us to be saints. Amen. We are inheritors of Jesus Christ. And yet, how does it make Jesus Christ feel that when He has to come and remove the candlestick out of our life? No light. No presence of His who He is. See, because Jesus is the light. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you might have your salvation and you'll get to heaven just like the Bible says in Jude, just as by fire. I mean, you got the smell of smoke on you. You almost get ready to burn up. And all of a sudden, boom, out you go. The rapture came just in the nick of time. And it's a sad tragedy that here, God has given us purpose as Christians, as people of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so tonight, we are to get back to the basics. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. That we are to get back to the basics where we're at. And I'll go back to with me in 1 Corinthians. I apologize. I told you to keep your place. Amen. But hey, I didn't do it either. So we're in it together. Amen. 1 Corinthians, and let's pick back up where we were at. Go to verse 4 again. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know, when's the last time we thank God? What He has given us. You know, I want you to know, me and my wife got to go to New York. And it was a great blessing. We're not denying that. But we were thankful to come back home. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, we came home and got right back in the boat. Like we never left. Amen. My wife says, we got home 4:30 in the morning. And I was back up at 8:45 and got dressed and did all some things and got breakfast and all of that and went out there and in the streets and passed out the packets. And by the time I got back, had to do some counseling and all of that and had a great day. Amen. But it was like we never left. And I thank God for that. Amen. Because I don't know where we'd be at without this church. I mean, I don't know the kind of people we would be today. You know, perhaps we might be the kind of people that most people that we are trying to help and encourage, that they walk around in life, nowhere to go, don't know what to do, they're lost. I mean, Christians get lost. Well, I mean, I've seen them all the time. They get lost. They don't know that Jesus Christ will answer their prayer. They're not too sure. They're not too sure, and they don't have any confidence in God. They don't have no reality, no presence of Jesus Christ. And God tells you and I that we're not going to have all we need if we don't get back to the basics. Amen. And so here, we're grateful. I wonder today how many of us are thankful what you have. Amen. You know, I never put on a show, but I'm thankful when you come to church. I'm thankful to every member. And I don't put on a show. When I preach with the heart God's given me.
Amen.
I preach with what God's given me. And look, I'll be honest to you. I'm not even preaching my notes. I'm preaching right out of the Bible.
Amen.
And so I want you to know that today, you and I, we ought to be thankful what God's given to us. What about the ministries in this church? When was the last time you were thankful? We have kids running up and down the hallways, marking them up. Amen? You might think that's a bad thing, but I think it's an opportunity. Amen? It's an opportunity that you and I, as adults, we can get together. Amen? You with me? We can get together, fellowship, paint the walls. Amen? Drink coffee, eat donuts. Amen? And that's opportunities. When was the last time we thank God for things like that? Amen. When was the last time we thank God for our trials? He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know, God's given you and I grace today. Verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge. Well, here, God's trying to help us to have a little knowledge, a little wisdom in our life. You know, we were reading this past week in the book of Proverbs. And we were reading through the book of Proverbs, and I've told most of you know by now, but my son, Josiah, you know, he has nightmares at times. And we've done everything we can to encourage him. And so we tried to, read the Bible to him and do these things. And everything is fine. I mean, there's no fear in the life of Josiah until he goes to bed. Right? And so We became thankful, and I'm trying to find it up. But here, there was a verse, must have been verse 4, that we were reading. And we were reading, it said, verse 24 of chapter 4 in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, it says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Boy, I tell you, we've been reading that, and Josiah says, I want to learn that verse.
Amen.
Amen. And so this morning, he got up, and I was reminded today, I don't know how I'm telling you this, but I guess I'm just saying I'm thankful. But this morning, he got up, and he says, Daddy, I did not fear when I went to sleep last night. Well, I was like, man, praise God, man.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, I don't know what that means for you, but man, it should mean that we ought to be thanking God. That here, God, when we follow His instruction, He does what only He can do. Amen. That in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. You know, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Amen? A lot of times we're ignorant because we turn our ears from hearing what God has to say. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. I wonder tonight, has the testimony of Jesus Christ been confirmed in you that you're His child? You know, that's going to come out. You know why? Because God wants you to be aware of that. Of all the things that I found in the Christian life, the one of the greatest things is, for me, is that God wanted me to have confidence in Him.
Amen.
And many Christians today have no confidence that Jesus Christ is a part of their life. And it's a tragedy. even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's where we're going to pick it up. Verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you and I are going to get back to the basics, then number one, we're going to get back to the basics of our faith. Amen? What is that faith? It says in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end? You know, it's going to take faith to get to the end of your life in serving Christ. Not many people make it. Not many people make it all the way. Some people, like we've seen in college, it's just like the Christian life. We've seen some folks, and I know that some people, it's a matter of the means. But if God is willing to provide everything that you need to get through to the end, then what's the problem? Amen? What's the problem? But I've seen in college where folks, they got started off, they came to college, they got involved, they had zeal, they had excitement, they were praying, they wanted everybody to know, they were reading the Bible, and they were involved in all these things, but yet, I don't know what happened. They just went out. There was no more mention of them. And yet, here, Jesus is trying to tell us, who shall also confirm you unto the end? God wants to place His testimony into your life. And if you're not going to be willing to open up your heart to where He has and where, what He is, if you're not going to be willing to increase your faith and exercise your faith, if you're not going to be willing to do what God has called you to do, then maybe you don't have the confidence that you need, like God wants you to have. Maybe you're not having some confirmation in your life so that you can draw on that strength. Amen? What does that mean? Well, I remember some times that we went door knocking. And we went door knocking with the group. And we everybody did their own houses, and it was to go and not rush the house, but you go and you knock on the door diligently, and you wait for somebody to answer. And I remember this time that how God confirmed some things in my life, and I went there and I knocked on the door and I met this guy. He was an arrogant kind of guy. He said, well, don't you read? No soliciting? What are you talking about? I don't got nothing to sell. Amen? Everything I have, I'm trying to give you the gospel. He said, I'm going to call law on you. Well, I said, well, okay. You know, I mean, I didn't want to go to jail, Brother Mel, but all right, maybe that's what God intended. Wasn't long before we got to the next house. Here comes the law. Amen. And I didn't do nothing wrong. But I walked into the man's yard. And so maybe, you know, he was going to try to say, they did something. They broke into my house and did all of that. And people lie. Right? And so here we face into this officer. And we became truthful and made a mention to the officer, hey, we are here for Jesus Christ. And we confirmed that unto the officer. But you know, God confirmed to us, I'm watching over you. I'll take care of you. And He did. He looked at that officer, took a track. Amen. You're saying, what does all that had to do? Well, maybe the confirmation was in my life. We do things for Jesus sometimes because other people around. But when the trials come, when the pressure comes, we could have went to jail. When the pressure comes, we back away. Right? We back away. And yet, here, that officer left with a track in his hand, knowing that Jesus Christ died for him and is willing to take him to heaven if he would only repent. Amen? Who are you saying, Pastor? Well, I'm trying to get you to understand that you and I, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful unto the end, and we ought to be confirming that Jesus Christ is in us and we are in Him. Amen? Amen? And it's going to come through faith. I like this part. Who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God wants you to be blameless tonight. And you might sit in here and you might hold your head down and you might, you know, get squirmy, you know, and say, man, I wish you'd just shut up and go home. But you know, God's trying to do some things in your heart because He wants you to be blameless in your life. Many Christians, when they get to heaven, they're not going to have really, I mean, they might get to heaven, but they're not going to go to heaven having confidence in the love of God. I was sinking deep in sin. For sure. Sing it out, Darren. No more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. You have confidence in that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we ought to have that kind of confidence. Let's go on verse 9. Bible says, God is what? Faithful. Amen. Well, is that something? God requires faith out of you and I because He's faithful. Amen. Is that so wrong? Tonight, here, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, that's really encouraging tonight to know that God is faithful in my life.
Amen.
Folks, you know, God's trying to encourage us to be faithful unto the end. Confirm that Jesus Christ is in your life. And the only way that you can confirm that is by being faithful in what He's called you to be. Verse 10, and we're going to close. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, tonight, we have a lot of work at First Baptist. You're saying, Pastor, what do you mean? We're having good fellowship. Yeah, we are. And fellowship is great. But it's not as great as should be when we learn how to work together. Amen? We need to labor together. We need to labor in praying for one another. We need to learn how to pray for these folks that don't have the understanding that you and I do. We need to be able to labor with them and help them to grow so that they can have the same mind and that there will be no divisions. See, there's divisions among our lives because Some are living for God and others not. Some are praying to God and others not. Some are singing to God and some not. There ought to be no divisions in the house of God. Everybody, I say everybody, should be praying and worshiping Jesus Christ. That's some things that you are to behold. Listen, I'm not trying to say anything, but I do want to make mention to you that we are having revival. One gentleman prayed tonight that the tent revival is coming here in a couple months. And then you and I can't wait till the week before to start praying for revival. That if we really want revival in our hearts, if we really want revival in our church, if we really want God to do something among our midst, why? Because we are in the will of God. We are in the house of God. We are sanctified by God. God has placed us here to be involved in something. And if we really want God a part of our midst, we ought to be praying for a revival. We are to be praying for our hearts to be revived, that we can have that kind of zeal when we first got saved. We were on fire. We were excited about who Jesus Christ was. We weren't ashamed of who He was. And today, are you excited? Are you desiring for Him to take all that we have? You know, it's hard to live for God sometimes. It's hard to set things aside. It's hard to separate our emotions for the things that we are attached to. It's hard to put Him first when everybody else claims for our attention, and it seems like that we get pulled from one direction to the other. It's hard to live for God at times. But yet, on the other hand, it's the best thing that you and I can do.
Amen.
It's the best thing that we can do for our family. It's the best thing that we can do for our friends. It's the best thing that we can do to have the ones in our life to be saved. I always thought this idea that if I take care of God's business, He'll take care of mine. Amen. If I follow and do what God wants, and if I please the Father, if I desire Him, if I make Him my desire, He'll fulfill my dreams. And I've come to prove that He does do that. And today I want to encourage you. You and I didn't even get to preach my notes. If you're willing, I'll preach them, amen. I'm not afraid to preach them, amen. But to you and I, maybe we need to get back to the basics of really realizing who we are. Realizing that we look back into the beginning of the chapter, what we are, we are called to be the sons of God. We are called to be the daughters of God. That's something special. That's not saying that you and I are just a religious person. That's saying that we have a relationship with a Father. That means something.
Amen.
And tonight, you and I, we are to be able to call on Jesus Christ and have Him answer our prayers. Tonight, where are you in your life? Have you pulled away from the things that you used to do? Are you less excited for the love of God? Are you less discouraged of coming to church? Where are you tonight? I wonder tonight if you and I was to be real before Jesus Christ, that this church is not where it really needs to be. I'm not saying it's not a good church, but I believe that there's a fire. There's something that God has placed in this church. It's special. I believe that in this church, that there's something that God has placed in this church, and God wants to cultivate it. God wants to exercise it, and God wants it to grow up in this church. And maybe it might be His presence. Maybe God has hope in this church. Maybe God has some faith in this church. And that He wants it to cultivate it. But it won't happen until you and I come into a realistic reality of who we are before who He is. Amen. Our faith, everything we have, we can go back and start all over, but we can go back into the beginning that everything that we are, who we are and to be are, it's all in Christ Jesus. That's why we make much of Jesus. And so today, you and I as the saints of God, if the things in our life aren't honoring and glorifying our Father, and we are not where He wants us to be. We are not in the will of God. Today there might be some things that pull you away from walking close to God. That's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to be close to Him. Just like when we went to New York and our sons, they wanted to run up ahead of us. They wanted to lag behind, but we wanted them right beside us. Tonight, that's where Jesus Christ wants you and I. Are you there? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We asked the pianist to come and play a song for us. And tonight, maybe God spoke to your heart. And you saying, well, hey, I'd like to take that opportunity and go to the altar. And we open the altar, and we want people to come and pray. It makes this church more special. The more people come and pray, pray for this church, pray for the men, pray for the women, pray for the children. That's where God's going to do business with you and I. As the pianos begin to play, let's pray along with them. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, dear God. We ask, dear God, for Your grace and Your love and tonight, dear God, we just pray, Lord, that You would encourage us and strengthen us tonight. And so, Heavenly Father, as we take this time to pray, I pray, Heavenly Father, send Your Holy Spirit among us. Help us, dear God, not to live with a withered spirit, a withered heart, but help us, Heavenly Father, to have that zeal, to have that love, and that compassion that You have for us. And so, Heavenly Father, tonight, dear God, I ask, Lord, by Your grace and Your Spirit, Lord, that You abide with us. Lord, we are Your people. We are the saints of God. And today, Heavenly Father, will You work in our hearts as Your desire is to do so. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.